Got a special friend with us this morning. His name is Paul Jukes. Paul pastors a church in Stoke-on-Trent in England. It's a Lifelinks church. Got to meet Paul probably about 5 or 6 years ago. Stumbled into him in the foyer at the Holiday Inn in Saskatoon. Somebody had invited him to the Lifelinks conference. I think he was wandering around. I said, are you for the conference? And he said, yeah, well, I'm Joel. Let's chat. And we start talking, and somewhere in there, he finds out I've been to Africa. He says, oh, I've been to Africa. Well, which part? Uganda. Oh, yeah, well, what are you doing there? And I told him, and he said, I actually met Jesus in Uganda. I said, oh, really? That's fascinating. And he said, yeah, this man named Peter Kasarivu led me to Jesus. I said, what? Peter Kasarivu's the guy that I know that's opened the door to... what on earth? Well, Paul's going to share a bit of that story with you here today. And I've had the privilege of preaching in his church a couple times and brought Paul with me to Uganda last summer. This guy loves Jesus. God's done an amazing thing in his life. He's passionate about the Lord, and he's going to impart some of that to us today. So, Paul, why don't you come? Let's welcome him in Jesus' name. Great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm going to share some of my story today. I think, this is 20 years ago, my story, but I'm here today for the first time. So for many of you, it's new. But if you live in my house with my girls and my wife, they're like, you're telling that story again? And I'm like, I forget what God did then. And I'm 20 years on from that. But hopefully this will help some of you. Hopefully it will inspire you. It will encourage you. Believe for your kids to come and back to the church. Because that's what I believe God wants. I had a praying mother who prayed many, many, many years, and I came back to Jesus, right? So hopefully that will encourage you. I'm one of those, so let's believe. I'm married to Sarah, and we've been married for 20 years. I've got two beautiful girls. By the way, my wife is beautiful. Let me just add that adjective in there. A beautiful wife and two beautiful girls, and named Grace and Olivia, 17 and 14. And as I said, my life hasn't always been what it is now. It's not always been like this. God grabbed hold of me in 2002 and rewrote my story. He turned me around like a revolution. He changed my life. I'm not the same that I was. And I don't stand here today to boast about that. I boast because of who he is. Because I couldn't do it. He did it. And I believe God wants to rewrite everybody's story. We've all got a past. We've all done something. We're all hurting at some point, and he can use that for good and rewrite that. And I want to speak about that today, that I believe God wants to rewrite your story. He wants to rewrite your kids' stories. He wants to rewrite the community. We've all got a past. We've all got a history. We all carry baggage. But if we bring it to him, he can use it for good and rewrite it. Amen. I want to share a scripture with you from Matthew 17. And this is a story that's been rewritten, because this story really focuses around Sinai in the Old Testament and the old characters. And Matthew's writing to Jews to help them understand, but he's trying to get them to rewrite the story that was in the Old Testament and bring in the new story. So I'm going to read it to you, and for you that like to study the word, you can go back and look a little bit more in depth at that, but I haven't got time to do that this morning. It says in Matthew 17, verse 1 to 8, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. This is the old story. In the old story, Moses, when he encountered God, his face shone. In the new story, it's more than the face. It's the whole of Jesus, the new character. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. I just love that line. Jesus came. Aren't you glad Jesus came? Is anybody glad Jesus came? Come on, he came. He didn't stop. He didn't stay. He came. Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. The old story had gone. All that was left was the new story. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The disciples asked him, why then do the teachers of the law say to Elijah that Elijah must come first? This is the old story, how it's going to happen through Elijah. All things are going to be made new. Disciples asked him, why then? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. The disciples understood. They now understood something that they didn't understand before. That he was talking to them about John the Baptist. John the Baptist had suffered, then Jesus came and he suffered. And these disciples would have been very confused in the story of what was happening. But the writer's trying to help them to understand all of the pain, all of the suffering. It was meant to happen. There's a new story. But how do we get into this new story? How do we move from the old story into the new story that's available for us? And I just want to take some things from this scripture. The first one is this. I want to ask you the question, is Jesus leading you? Because it said he took them and he led them up a high mountain. I just wondered, like, when I read that, I thought, you know, it could be one of those days where they're tired and they don't want to go with Jesus. They just want to stay at home. They just want to do what they want to do. But no, Jesus invited them to go up a mountain and they went with him. You know, I haven't always followed Jesus, as I've said. When I was younger, my mum and dad went to church. They came to Christ probably when I was about 9, 10, and they got born again, and I noticed things changing, things were happening, but I didn't really go to church. I went a couple of times, but I was bored, if I'm honest. I was totally bored in church. Like, they're just weird. The heart wasn't there. I didn't get it. I was bored. And I played football, and Sunday mornings were for football, and I got a lot of affirmation from that. It made me feel good. And I actually threw myself into it because it made me feel good. It affirmed me. And at the age of 16, I signed a contract with my local football team, the football team that I love, the best football team in the world. It's not the Rough Riders. It's not the Bombers. It's not the Stampeders. Can I mention them in here? It's not even Manchester United. It's Stoke City Football Club. They play in red and white stripes. By his stripes, we are healed. You know, it's the white and the blood, and you Christians get that. They're the best team in the world, and I sign for them. I'm like, my dad loves the club. My brother loves the club. My dad's proud of me. I know where my life's going. I know the story. And then, my uncle comes to see me. I'm camping. I'd gone away for a few days camping with friends and my uncle came. I'm like, why is my uncle coming to the campsite? He said, I've got something to tell you. Your dad's dead. I'm like, what? He's had a heart attack, he's gone. And my world changed. A 16-year-old, you know, you're still trying to work out who you are, your identity, and you're looking for it from your parents. You're looking, and listen, I had lovely, lovely parents. They loved me. My mum loved me unconditionally all my life, and I'm so grateful for her when I was an idiot. She kept loving me and forgiving me. That's another story. But I was looking for affirmation. And I got it from the football and my father, and that was gone now, and it didn't really matter anymore because he's not here. And so for a few years then I was searching for affirmation. I looked for friends and I looked for nightclubs. I looked for drink, and that helped the pain a little bit. And then I drank even more and I drank more, and it was every day and it was every night. I was drinking to help me. And then I got involved with drugs and the social dynamic. It gave me confidence, built me self-esteem in the inside. And I was partying, and I was drug dealing, and I was having a great time, and this is the life I was living, and I get arrested, and things happen, and you get in trouble, and yet my mum forgives me again. It's like, no judgment, just loves me. And this is the life I'm on, and then I get in a relationship long term, and I'm in it for 6 years. I think this is the way my life's going. Okay, maybe this is it now. And then she finishes with me and goes off with someone else, and it just breaks my heart again. I'm like, what is happening in life? And then I hate my life, and I get more and more depressed, and I hate my life, and I just want to die. I want to kill myself. I've had enough of the pain. I can't carry it anymore. I remember sitting in a house. I was renting a house, and I was on my own, and I was sitting in an upstairs room, and I sat there, and I thought, I can't live anymore. And I went, God, I don't even know if you're real, but you can just have it all. You can have every little bit that I have, because I've messed it up, and I can't do anything. And you know what? I was expecting something happened, and nothing happened. And a few months later, my mum had been on a missionary trip to Rwanda, not really understanding why she was going. But she felt to go, she went. And while she was there, she met a couple of people and they visited the UK doing child sponsorship. One of them was named Moses Malay. He was a friend of Peter Kasarivu. And he invited me over. Come and see your sponsored child. She said, sponsor a child and come and see it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And my mum, the following, like, it's probably 6 months later, she felt God say to her, he needs to go now. So she said, why don't you go to Africa? I'm like, okay, I'll go to Africa. Here's a bit of money, you go. And this guy, Moses Malay, and his family, they put me in their house. They move all of their things out of the one room that they have, and they're all living in the living room. No, they had two rooms, another room, and all the kids were living in the living room and sleeping there. And I'm like, you can't put me in there. And they put me in this room, and they love me, and they accept me. And I'm away from all of my peer pressure. I'm away from all of that temptation. And I'm there for a month. And they take me to church and they run me around the villages preaching the gospel. And I'm like, what's going on? And they're changing the community and helping orphans. And I'm like, this is different. And then by the end of the 4 weeks, I'm ready. I need to go home. And there's a young girl who's living in the house. And she says to me, Paul. And I felt the heart. It was heartfelt question. She said, I want you to know Jesus. I'm like, what do you mean? I want you to know Jesus before you go home. I said, well, what do I do? Next minute, Moses, he's in the corner. He jumps up. He said, we need to go. I said, what's going? What do you mean we need to go? He puts me in the car and he drives to Pastor Peter's house and we sit in his living room and he said, hey, he wants to give his life to Jesus. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. What does this mean? What are you expecting of me? He said, sit down, we'll talk and you say this prayer. And I can't even remember what I prayed. I could have been praying to Buddha. I don't know. But I prayed a prayer. And I meant it. And just as I get up, a guy walks in. He's a preacher. He had a prophetic gift. And he said, Paul, I pray with you. I'm like, okay. I pray with you. I said, okay, pray. And he prayed. Boom, I went on the floor. And all of a sudden, it's like my eyes were open. I was like, wow, where am I? I know nothing anymore. I'm like a baby who has no knowledge of anything that I've ever... What was that about and what's this about now? My eyes are open to something. I remember sitting in the back of the truck as he drove back like this, almost like a baby, you know, like a baby coming out of a mother's womb, and I was scared, and I was thinking, what's going on? And the next day I went to find that guy who said, I'll pray for you. I thought, I'm having him. I was a bit rough then, right? I want a word with you. You need to put this back because something's happened to me. Put it back. Take it back and put it back because I've had a nightmare of a sleep and something's going on. He said, calm down. I said, calm down? Do you know what you've done? And he said this. He said, let me pray. I said, pray. You prayed yesterday and look at what's happened. You're going to pray again? He said, yeah, let me pray. And as he prayed for me, he said, God's going to give you an inheritance. I'm like, You don't understand, there's no money in my family. You don't understand, my grandparents don't have houses, they have council houses. There's no inheritance, mate. You got it wrong. And then he said this. He says, you're going to go home. He says, you're a leader. He says, you're going to get married, and you're going to have kids, and you're going to lead people back to Africa. And as he said it, something went off inside of me. I went, that's my story. That's my story now. I'm going home. I'm going, oh yeah, I'm going home. I'm going home. And God's got a different story for me. So I go home, I'm not even in church. I'm thinking, I gotta tell someone about Jesus. So I go and tell somebody about Jesus. It's my ex-girlfriend. I tell her. And as I get in the car, I put my hands on the steering wheel. The peace of God went right through my body and I felt whiter than white. And all of a sudden, I was doing this in the car. I said, what's this? I ring my mum, what's this? Mum, is it French? Is it German? What is it, mum? She said, it's tongues. Pray. And that's how my journey started. It set a fire inside of me and a boldness to preach the gospel about Jesus. And the love of God began to warm my heart. And the joy began to come back from my life. And the grief began to disperse. And I began to be set free like a jack in a box out of a box, yeah? And I want to tell everybody about Jesus. So I was not always led by Jesus. But I chose Jesus and now he leads me. He leads me up the mountain. He leads me to the place. I love that scripture this morning. That safe place that he has for me. I didn't feel safe. I felt unprotected. I felt exposed. I felt vulnerable. I felt scared. And this is my next point. This is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to recover you. He wants to recover us all. He wants to put a covering around you. You know, if you look what he says, Peter and the disciples, they said, let's cover them. Let's put Jesus and Moses in a covering. Let's honor them. And then God steps in and says, no, I will cover him with my words. And my word says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know, when we live in this world, we get damaged. Yes, my heart was changed. The very nature of who I was on the inside was changed. I didn't change me. He changed me. And then my habits began to change. I did not touch alcohol when I got home. I did not touch drugs when I got home. None. No desire at all. It was completely gone. I didn't go home thinking, I need to stop drinking for Jesus. Jesus wants me to stop drinking. I'm following Jesus. Oh, no, it was none of that. My heart changed. I don't want that stuff anymore. It's not helping me. And listen, I don't mind having a drink now. I'm in control of that. It doesn't control me. But the point of the matter is this, my nature changed. You know, the example there is he was transfigured. What does that mean? Metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar, right? It, on the inside is the butterfly, but when it comes out of the caterpillar, we see this beautiful thing, right? It's the power of God that changes us. We're on the inside, but we're trapped, but we need to be born of God. We need to be changed on the inside. It changed my nature, then I began to change my habits. If we try and change our habits, we get legalistic and we get religious and we feel rubbish because we don't change. No, we change, we let Jesus change us on the inside and we walk in the freedom of what he's done for us, amen? Amen. But God wants to recover you. I want to tell you a story of a part of my recovery. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. But when I got to the age of 39, before I took on the church, I started to have panic attacks. I started to have palpitations. I started to worry about things. Things weren't going bad, but on the inside they were. And I didn't understand because I thought, Jesus has changed my heart. I love Jesus, but there's part of me now that's struggling. And I wouldn't tell people. I kept it on the inside. I talked to my wife. But I felt a bit ashamed with that I should be strong for Jesus. I shouldn't be weak. It shows that I'm weak in my faith because of these struggles. And I began to struggle. And I went to the doctors and I had ECG tests, then another EC, because the pain's across my chest and I'm dying. I'm dying, and I was convinced in my mind I was dying. And I remember thinking, I need to write letters to Sarah and the girls, and lying on my bed, not sleeping at night, thinking, I'm dying. That's it. I'm dead. I'm going to die. Are you still with me this morning? And I'm lying on my bed, and I've been like, Sarah, usually she's really, I mean, my wife is amazing. She really is. She's picked up the muck and the mess of me and walked through me and built trust. I tell you, I give praise to my wife. But I'm lying on the bed. She doesn't know what to do with me for a few days. And I go to this, I go away for a few days, do some training, and I'm lying in bed there, and I'm like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I'm dying, I'm going to have to ring an ambulance. I'm ringing an ambulance, I'm going to get up. And I'm like, Jesus. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand. And all of a sudden, in my mind, like an image, whether it's on the outside or the inside, I don't quite understand it. But an image comes to me on the left-hand side of my mind here, and it was an image of a funeral car. And I could see the coffin in the back of the funeral car, and there was flowers on the side of it, and the flowers said, D-A-D, Dad. And at that moment, I realized this is all to do with the death of my dad. It was the trauma, it was the post-traumatic stress that I'd kept underneath as a young lad. And at 39 now, it was being raised from the back of my mind to the front of my mind. As a young kid, you can't deal with it. But as an adult, it begins to be released and we begin to face these things that happen to us. I didn't understand. But this image came, and all of a sudden I knew God was doing something. And all of a sudden it was like a hand came into my head. And it grabbed something. I tried to look what it was, and I was scared because it was a horrible thing. It was the trauma. And I'm trying to look at it in my mind, and it went from this side of my mind, and it went to here. And I grabbed it, and it pulled it out of my mind. And I'm like, what is it? I'm trying to understand. I'm looking for it. And as I look, it's like a piece of paper, but in the hand, it crunches. It crunches. I'm trying to look what it is, and it went. And I'm like, I can't see it. It's gone. And the next morning I wake up, I'm like, panic attack again, it's all happening again. And all of a sudden my mind, this thought came. You have the mind of Christ. Be still. And I got up and I didn't panic. And I walked and I nearly had a panic attack. No, I have the mind of Christ. And all of a sudden, something was different. Why? Because we're in the process of recovery. My soul was in recovery. My heart was changed. But on a journey of recovery. And God's into the business of recovery. He's into the business of making us whole and healing us so that we can be made whole, so that we can help others to be made whole. If I'd have took on the church with that trauma, guess what I'd have done? When it got difficult, I'd have ran away. But God knew He needed to recover me. He needed to bring the mess that was underneath of the surface and get rid of it so that I could be firm in Him, not in the past. God's rewriting my story. He's rewriting your story. Do you believe that this morning? God wants to recover you. Amen. My last point I want to say is this. I want to encourage you on the journey is dress according to your future, not your past. Dress according to your future, not your past. Have you got that? When I was in Africa for the first time, they invited me to go to an introduction. Now, an introduction is like a wedding, but it's an engagement party. And what they do is they go and meet the family on one side of the... It's like it was in a gazebo. On one side is the bride's family, on one side the groom's family. And what you had to do is the groom had to take gifts and present them, a bit like a dowry, to the father, the future father-in-law. And he had to look and decide if that was a good enough gift. And they would say, yay, and they would celebrate, and it would all be a great party unless the gift was rubbish, right? So they said to me, you need to go. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll go. But I said, I don't know them. He said, it's okay. You're with us, and you're going to be the only white person there, Mzungu, but it's okay. I'm like, okay, but I don't know these people. I feel like I'm intruding. No, it's okay, you can come. He said, but you need to wear their clothes. I said, what do you mean their clothes? He said, we got this outfit, African outfit, you need to wear it. So he pulls out this, like, honestly, it's a dress. It's a dress, right? No doubt about it, it's a dress. In my will, it's a dress. Holds it up like that, it's a big long white dress. I'm like, you're kidding me, aren't you? Do you know what my mates would say about that? Do you know where my street credibility is going now? So I put a white dress on. Woo-hoo, yeah, woo. Woo-hoo to you too. Yeah, I'm wearing a white dress. I'll tell you what I am thankful for. I'm thankful that social media wasn't out. I'm thankful that God brought it out later on. I'm wearing a white dress, and he said, you need to wear a jacket. I'm like, do you know how warm it is? Do you know where I'm from? From the UK. Put this big tweed jacket on me. It was like my granddad's 1950s coat. A tweed itchy thing. So I've got a white dress on, my granddad's coat on. I'm like, you're kidding me, aren't you? No, you're going like, ah. Right, okay, I'll go like, ah. I'm following Jesus, am I right? Whatever. So I've got his clothes on. And then he says, you need to take a gift. I said, okay. So he said, we're going to give you this basket, nice basket that they've woven, and you need to put a gift in it, and you need to hold it on your head, and you need to walk in with your dress on and your granddad's jacket on. And I said, well, what's the gift? A cabbage. I said, you what? A cabbage? Yeah, a cabbage. I'm like, listen, I'm not from round here. There's an expectation I got a bit of cash on me, right? I'm taking a cabbage. That guy's walking with a goat. Can I have the goat? No, you can have a cabbage. So I have the cabbage. And honestly, I can play football. I can balance balls on my head. Try and balance a cabbage in a basket on your head. Wearing a dress and a jacket. I'm like this, going, right? I'm sweating. Right, this. I'm like this. I feel stupid. No, you'll be okay. Come on. You're going to the... Anyway, I get there. Guess what? There's other blokes wearing white dresses. There's other blokes with me granddad's tops on. There's other blokes with baskets with cabbages. I was like, hey, that's all right, I fit in here. I'm walking. Cabbage man's here. My point is this. On the journey, sometimes you feel like you don't fit in. Sometimes when you begin to follow Jesus, it feels a bit awkward compared to your past. But guess what? When we get to heaven, you're going to say, now I know why I was wearing the white dress. Now I know why he told me to walk in holiness. Now I understand that we're going to the bride, with a bride, and we're going to the celebration. Now I understand why he's calling me to dress different than the world. And it might feel a bit uncomfortable, but he's calling me to dress differently. And when you get there, you're going to go, hey, I fit in. This is right. Are you with me? I know some of you are probably thinking I haven't shared much scripture, so here's a scripture. You ready? Colossians 3:12-14 says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, Israel were the chosen people, the New Testament now, we're all included and all chosen. Amen? This is the new story. Holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I like this. Bear with one another. This is a dad joke, right? This is what my girls will tell me. I'm not used to bears, so I'm not very good at bearing, right? You're good at bears. You've got loads of bears. You should be good at this. That's a dad joke. I'll throw it in there. You ready? Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord or your Father has forgiven you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Like I said, we're in the process of recovery. God's leading us, is he not? Are you being led, or are you just going your own way? I want to follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. What is Jesus saying to us about things in our situation? God's word in there, this is my son, listen to him. Listen to Jesus in your situation. Now, I mentioned I was in a relationship before I met my girlfriend, who became my wife, Sarah. And she'd been in a broken relationship too, so we kind of understood, but we were also quite insecure, and we struggled with trust. And I'd been training as a primary school teacher, and I'd got a job as a primary school teacher in all of my mess by the grace of God. It had to have been God. But in that place where I worked, my ex-girlfriend worked there. So for 2 years before I was a Christian, I went to that school every day and I had to face my past. I had to face my pain, my disappointments, while those kind of people move on with their lives. Anyway, I become a Christian, meet Sarah, we start this relationship, start to talk. And my ex rings me up and she said, "Hi, I've crashed my car. Do you mind giving me a lift?" And I'm like, "You are." Now, the old clothes Paul would have gone, "Serve yourself right, you." Right? That's the old Paul. That's not the new Paul. The new Paul said, I'll think about it. And I thought, I need to speak to Sarah because I need to make sure with her she's okay with it because we're struggling with trust. So I said, "You mind that, Sarah?" She says, "No, that's okay. I trust you." So I'm driving the car, and as I'm driving on the way, which feels like the longest ride in the world, remember, I'm not wearing new clothes now, aren't I? I'm wearing a white dress. I'm driving the car, and this voice comes to me. "Say sorry, Paul." I'm like, "What? Did I hear that?" And I carry on driving. "Say sorry, Paul." "Say sorry? She's the one who should say sorry. Do you know what she did to me? Do you know how painful it is?" "Say sorry, Paul. Who am I listening to? Who am I following? Am I following Jesus? Am I following my old life? Do I want to stay in the old life or do I want the new life that he's writing? You see what I'm saying? And that's the conundrum that we're in. Do I want to live in the new creation or the old creation? I want to live in the new creation. So the old creation has to die. The old Paul's got to go. So it's fourth time. "Say sorry, Paul." "Okay, right, I'm getting it now. I just want to say sorry to you." The longest 5 seconds ever. "What for?" "Hello? Hello?" "Say sorry." I'm like, "I've said sorry. Well, what's going on?" Like 3 seconds later, "I suppose I better say sorry to you too." At that moment, I experienced a disconnect from that person. I felt spiritually, boom, gone. Wow, I'm moving on. The old life has gone. I have a new life. But my soul was attached to that. And my soul had to let go for the new. And unless I forgave her first, then God couldn't work on her. And I said, "I'm sorry." She said, "Sorry." And from that moment, I felt like there was nothing there of the past. See, God's dressing us for our future, is he not? And we're in a process of recovery. In order to do that, we've got to listen to Jesus and do what Jesus says. They went up the mountain. They encountered Jesus on the mountain. They encountered this covering, this word that was spoken over them. You know, I want to pray for people this morning. I really feel there's people in here that God wants you to have a different story because some things have happened to you. And it still has an effect on your life. And listen, we're on a journey. We're all in some form of recovery because things happen to us and we have to go back to Jesus and we have to listen to him and he helps us and he heals us and he takes us on this journey and more glory to him as he uses it all for good. So we're all on a journey. But I really felt as I prayed last night, I felt God give me something for somebody. It might be somebody specific, or it might be that he wants to use this for other people. And I felt like there was somebody here, it might just be, use this illustration, it'll speak to you. And that means everybody. There was someone here who'd gone and, as a young child, gone and had the hair coloured. I can't do that. Gone and had the hair coloured, right? And they'd gone home, and as they'd gone home, their dad saw them. And the dad, rather than affirming their beauty, he wasn't happy. And he wasn't happy with the child because they'd done something to themselves. you know, when I look at the Father in heaven, his job is to affirm us, is it not? He affirms us with his love like he does the Son. This is my child in whom I'm well pleased. But what I've found in life is this. My parents weren't perfect. They loved me, but they weren't perfect. And they couldn't give me everything because I needed to be affirmed by God's love first and foremost. And I feel like there's people here, there's definitely somebody who had the hair coloured and their dad didn't affirm them. And this is then what you did. You went like this. You looked inside of yourself and you said, I'm not very beautiful. I'm not very loved. I'm not loved because my father didn't affirm me. Therefore, I'm not beautiful. Therefore, I'm not very nice, really. And you made a decision to believe that because somebody didn't affirm you at the time and you took it personally and you decided that was your covering. That's what covers me. I'm not beautiful. I'm not good enough. Can anybody associate with this? Or is it just me? Come on. Is it just me? Do you believe you're beautiful? I do. Do you believe you're beautiful this morning? Can you say, I'm beautiful? I'm beautiful. You're made in the image of God. If you're in the new creation by faith this morning, God wants to affirm his word for you in creation that you are dearly loved this morning. That you are loved by him that much that he would send his son and he would pay for your covering with his blood with the most precious thing that he had because that's how much he valued you. He loves you more than anything. He loved you with everything. That's how much the Father loves us this morning. And I just want us to pray this morning. And this is what I want us to do. You may be here and you may have had an experience where you don't feel loved because of an earthly people that happens. And you know what? In this scripture, what I see, this is what happens. Jesus goes to the disciples when they're scared and he touches them. And he touches them and then he says, get up. Don't be afraid anymore. And I feel like some people here, Jesus wants to touch you. And then when you get up, you're going to look and all the things that you were scared about are going to disappear and all that will be left is the love of God. And that's all you need is Jesus. Not Moses, not Elijah, not John the Baptist, not them of the past, but Jesus. That's all you need this morning is Jesus. And Jesus wants to touch you this morning with his love. And if that's you, this is what I want you to do. Jesus wants to touch you. He's touching you through his word this morning. I want you to get up. I want you to stand up. And I want you to listen to his words and take them from today and say, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. Like the girl who I talked about with her hair being dyed and the father looked and he wasn't very happy, was angry. Maybe you've got that image. Well, in this scripture, the disciples were scared because they wondered what God was like. Is he scared? Is he going to judge us or not? But the new Jesus comes to us, doesn't condemn us, and he loves us. So if you're here this morning and that's spoken to you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. Be brave and stand up. If you're struggling with your inner beauty, I want you to stand up. An area of your life, this is between you and Jesus. And I want him to, I'm believing that the creative God, the creative spirit is going to come to you and he's going to begin to restore that creation in you back to your original identity of who you are, loved by God. And I want you where you are, begin to invite the Holy Spirit. Speak to me. Not Paul speaking, speak to me. If there's some of you here who you had difficulties with parents and you've fallen out and you felt that that was broken down, I want you to stand up. And I'm going to believe for the love of God to fill your heart. Maybe there's some of you as well that need to forgive people. You need to forgive. The thing, the person is still holding on to you. I want you to, it's a choice, forgiveness is. Choose today to forgive them. Doesn't mean it was right. Doesn't mean it's going to all be right. But what you're doing is you're disconnecting from your past story and walking into your new story. And if that's you, I want you to stand up. And I want you to say in your heart, I forgive them today, Lord. I want to know the Father's love this morning. And maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. Or you're not sure if you know Jesus. I want to say this to you. You can trust Jesus. And you might have been damaged in life, but God is offering. He is faithful and he's offering a relationship of love to you. And you might not trust, but he first wants to show his trust for you. And he did that in his son Jesus, and he offers forgiveness. He offers forgiveness. He forgives you so that you can put that white dress on like me and walk around knowing that you're forgiven. And you can start a relationship. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I don't want to rush you, but you decide in your heart. Father, I pray for those this morning who are believing in you for the first time. Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Please forgive us, Lord. I want to start a relationship with you. Come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of my past. I choose to believe in you, Jesus, that you died for me. In your name I ask, amen. You know, if you've prayed that prayer this morning, can I encourage you, go to the Connect window and there's some information they can give you there. Please don't go away without understanding what it is to follow Jesus. Let someone help to lead you to follow Jesus, because you won't be able to do it on your own. I think we're going to finish there. Was that okay? Is God speaking to you? Thanks for those who've listened online. You know, where you are right now, if God's speaking to you, I believe he can minister to you the same. Take a moment and ask God to speak to you and minister to you where you are. So I hope you've enjoyed that this morning. It's great to be with you. I really do appreciate this family. Thanks to Joel, Angela, and all of you for welcoming me. We really do love you. So I'm finished. Thank you. Have a great day.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too. So if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care, keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.